Hi, this is Paul, and I know I've got the sun in my face. That's because it's early in the morning, and usually the sun doesn't come what passes for a window in my office. But it's early morning in Sacramento, and we had the Delta breeze last night, so we have some of that cool Pacific air. So I've got the church all opened up. The fence is mostly together. Some of the homeless people still climbed it last night, but I think at some point we'll start to reduce some of that. But anyway, today I have with me Matthias and Cassidy, and we're going to talk a little bit about the German festival. And I think also a little bit about some of what we're learning as we do more and more of these events. I did the Chicago events before my trip to Synod, and we had a little event that I geared towards leaders, which I can talk about, and then also the West Michigan Estuary event, and then maybe some ideas about where how these events fit into the overall estuary project. We can talk about bridges of meaning, some ideas that are developing into successor servers, what's been happening with the bridges of meaning Discord server, and some of those kind of things. So how does that sound, guys?
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
You want to, why don't we begin with a little bit of history, and maybe I'll have Cassidy go first, because Cassidy, you were one of the first people to really jump on this idea of bigger events. And very early on, you said, "Oh, let's do some events." And I was a little bit more reluctant. And now you're very much in the middle. You're moving to Europe. You're getting married. A person that you met on the Bridges of Meaning Discord, the Bridges of Matchmaking Discord server. And so why don't you talk a little bit about your journey into events and kind of how that has brought us to where we are now?
Sure. So I have a professional history in event production. I was on, well, I continue to be on a production team that produces stand-up comedy festivals. And I love live events, and I've done live event works through other things, but that's sort of been my main experience in it. And I love it. But the more that I did it, the more I wanted to produce something that was had a little more heft than just comedy. Because I mean, comedy's fun and it can be really impactful and important, I think. But I need something a little more. And being part of Bridges of Meaning and seeing the way that it impacted myself, but also other people, and the way that it taught me how to think better and interact with people better was something I thought was super important, especially now when people don't really know how to talk to each other about the big things. So I've always been a huge advocate of getting this out of the online platform and into the real world, especially because I'm not a huge online participator necessarily, outside of the Discord. So that was just a big push for me. And the longer that we've done the online participation, the more that I've seen its limitations. And like you said, I met my fiance on the Discord, so I really saw the difference of like, how you can grow and create super meaningful relationships online, but what are the limitations of that? And how do you then ground that into the real world? And so yeah, I've been pushing for a long time, but with COVID, it's been harder to do that. But now that things are lifting, I excited to see more people push forward and create events. And I had talked with Sam for a long time about doing events, and was super excited to see him do the Chicago event. But I had moved to Europe, so I was like, well, I can't really be as involved in that because I'm juggling a lot of things. But when Matthias came out with his idea for the festival, yeah, I jumped on, was like, hey, if you need any help, and he took me up on it. So it's been really great to help plan that and be a support for that. And I'll throw it to Matthias. I think he's got a good background. He can kind of give more about the festival because it's his baby.
Yeah, so how did this festival arise, Matthias? What prompted this in you?
You mean how the idea came up, or well, I used to organize underground rock and roll concerts in the past. I don't know, like 6, 7 years ago. So I had some experience in that. I never organized multiple day events with like conference style. But yeah, then this Bridges of Meaning thing happened, and we started here in Germany. We started our, additionally to the online thing, we started our regular estuar. We say estuar in Germany, not estuary. And yeah, so we had this presence thing as well. And last year we did a semi-European event. It was 1 day of hiking and a little guided tour through a medieval church. And for example, Job came down from the Netherlands, and Rasputin came from Switzerland, and some Germans were there as well. So we had a very good day there. And at some point I thought, let's do some conference thing where people come, where we have some speakers, and where we also have some small group discussions. And that was basically how the idea came up.
And then you kind of floated the idea, says, well, if you could get here and, you know, we could help, you know, pay for your trip. And I had always wanted to come out there for something like this at some point. And we, you know, always kind of waiting for COVID to see what was going to happen with that, because with the original West Coast tour that Vindank and Job and I were doing, that actually got shut down because of COVID. It was in March of 2020, and borders started to close, and the conference that Job had come out to Southern California was getting canceled. And then it was like, well, Job, maybe you should go back, and maybe we shouldn't have our dates up in Canada and the Pacific Northwest, and so on and so forth. Tell me a little bit more about the shape of this festival. For one thing, you called it a festival, which was interesting to me. That seems like a much more European thing. And what were some of the pieces that you've brought together, and why did you bring together some of those pieces?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's called festival. We talked about this, Cassidy and I. It could also be Bridges of Meaning conference, or I think Teddy from Israel, he said to his parents he's going to a convention in Europe. So, I mean, that doesn't really matter, but a festival, it was like, I think the first speaker or artist that that confirmed and said, okay, I will come, was Two More Bees, and he is bringing this musical aspect, and that's why I think I started with the festival title. But basically it will be more more speakers and more discussion than a musical program, but on Saturday evening we have this musical aspect as well.
Okay. Let's see, Bern and I are going to be there, and you're limiting it to 100 participants, which I think isn't a bad idea at all. What do you hope to see come out of this?
Well, I mean, we talked about this in other rounds. I think basically that people really can come together and see each other and make connections and friendships. And also, I mean, it's in the program, right? On Friday we have a campfire where people can arrive and connect, and it's an unstructured event where people really can gather around the campfire and start the weekend with talking and connecting. And Teddy also said in the video we made that people should connect beforehand as well. So we have this other sub-server where people can already now, who want to travel to the festival, can connect for joint travel or accommodation. And the idea is really to connect people. And I mean, you will bring John Vindank with you, right?
Yeah.
So he's his focus is really this estuary focus, where he coaches people to form small groups in their local area. And we will experience this during the festival as well. We will split up in small groups and have small group discussions about the, for example, also about the topics that the speakers bring up, but also about other topics. And we also want to offer possibilities where people really can sign up on a list where they can say, okay, I want to start a small group. I want to start an estuary in my place and really to focus on this connection thing.
Okay, good. I'll mention John Van Donk again. He came up. I sent him the Teddy video. I said, John, you're famous. You've got a following. And John has really been working behind the scenes. He established something that is horribly named ELSNET, which is basically Estuary Leader Support Host Forum, something like that. But he, every month, twice a month, runs three particular groups of individuals that come and want to practice sort of how to run an estuary meeting. In my recent trip to the Midwest, we had the Chicago group. I'll talk about them in a minute. We had the West Michigan estuary, which I think is going very, very well. I tried to hold an event for CRC pastors, and I tried to do it right on the back end of Synod. I think one of the things I didn't consider when I tried to organize that event was, number one, I didn't get buy-in early enough from denominational people. I wanted to get the message to go out to delegates for Synod that maybe they could postpone going home an extra day and then catch that breakfast. That didn't happen. I also don't think I appreciated the fact that Synod would be so grueling and that when people got done with Synod, all they wanted to do was get out of town and get home, and a bunch of those preachers had to preach the next Sunday. So we didn't have a lot of turnout for that leaders meeting at all, but the West Michigan estuary meeting went well. I did find it interesting because this was the second year actually that it started as Chicago meetup. You know, we've sort of been migrating from meetup to estuary in terms of the name. And it did strike me as interesting that the Chicago group, which is, I think, very well formed and has some great leadership, are using a public event type thing to strengthen the estuary movement. We had considerable presence from the Minneapolis area in Chicago, which I found to be interesting. And I really encouraged some of the people from Minneapolis to think about leaning more into organization and perhaps doing something similar to Chicago. There are a number of individuals in this little corner of the internet who are from the Minneapolis area. And it usually takes, once you have sort of a critical mass, I think then leaning into a more regional event type focus really helps build the energy and enthusiasm for your estuary movement. What are you seeing on the ground in Europe in terms of estuaries and estuary groups and their development there? And how do you see this festival sort of building into that movement?
Yeah, well, we have in Germany, we have in Mannheim, we have our regular estuary where we meet once a month. Next week, for example, we have our next meeting. And so this group is quite dedicated and it's good going. And apart from that, in Germany, we have some people who really would like to start one, but they don't have enough people in their area. So what I hope for the festival is maybe that they find people and also get more of the experience of an in-presence estuary to get a better motivation. And the festival announcement already did was that people are connecting now on this sub Discord. It's called PVK 2022 Europe Tour. It's also for the Dutch events and the UK events. And first of all, there are people who are organizing the tour all over Europe. They are connecting, so that's good for future collaboration. And for example, in France, there are, I think, three or four people from France who are interested in coming to the German festival. And I think it would be good for them to connect. And they already said, okay, maybe we should also start a French language chat in the Bridges of Meaning Discord. So I think that's also good that we can connect local language groups, that they really can start estuaries in their mother tongue. I think that's also a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we
Good.
We have a lot of members who are European on the server. And I think that's for us something that is exciting of how can we get all, like, because we've all, even the Americans know the Europeans and we've interacted together, and finding ways to get them in person and talking, and then potentially planting that in real life by creating those events, and with Fondant there helping kind of get the steps of here's how we run that. I think that's huge, very helpful, because a lot of people are like, I'd love to do it, but they have no concept of how to start and what that takes. So I think that's really exciting. I mean, me and Faraday are looking to start sort of a monthly estuary in the Netherlands, kind of open house thing of putting it out there and letting people come in. You know, still working on that as I get settled, but that's our goal. And I think we'd love to see other people kind of do that as well. So it's not just back and forth online, because it can be helpful, but it also can be toxic. And, you know, it's a different dynamic in person.
Yeah. I thought maybe I'd talk a little bit about what's been happening on the development of a new Bridges of Meaning, sort of the successor Discord server to the current one. When some of the people out of Sacramento started the current Bridges of Meaning Discord server, it was Joey who thought up that name. And the idea was that we could have bridges for different places around the world. A lot of what happened, and I think this is having a beard means sometimes having stray hairs that get in. Part of what happened was that sort of the main Bridges of Meaning server sort of became the principal one. And that was a place where people from all over the world could find each other. The server itself was kind of a standard Discord server, and that text chat had priority. And what we learned over time was that that just sort of grew and grew and grew and grew. And text chat becomes particularly difficult for moderation, because there is a degree of moderation that's needed, and we want to sort of have a culture there where people can discuss, but not sort of burrow down too much into, let's say, theological differences or philosophical differences or political differences. Those kinds of sort of auguring down into dead end arguments don't necessarily give people, I think, what they're looking for, which is, as Joey once said, more Jordan Peterson style conversations where we're not having arguments or debates back and forth, but, and I think Vervaeke has, you know, articulated this well, dialogos, where there might be differences that we continue to have, but both of us leave the conversation feeling that there was an addition in terms of what I get out of it.
You mean that, Jordan Peterson in 2018, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, I might make a video today about, I just finished the Peterson, Dave Rubin, and they were just getting into an interesting area. And then, and for more of this, go to Daily Wire Plus. And I thought, this is exactly what I was worried about. On one hand, I can understand Jordan wanting to, I think Jordan's got some legitimate concerns as to, will he get kicked off of YouTube? And I think he's for a long time been looking for a platform where he has a little bit more liberty. But anyway, so that's enough of that. Part of what I'm working with Rick on this. Part of what we're trying to do is look at, okay, how can we use this Discord platform for facilitating local groups? But I think also we learned a lot through the first iteration of the Bridges of Meaning Discord server. One of the things that we learned was anonymity isn't necessarily your friend. If you want to build stable relationships, people are going to have to know each other with names. Having faces and cameras on and video and real-time video chat is very important for keeping people from doing a lot of the kinds of negative things that often happen in text-based debate, or, I mean, it's just easy to sort of bomb people and do things that are not relationally healthy. So the next iteration of the Discord server hopefully will be a lot more user friendly. A lot of people, when they came to the Discord server, were just simply overwhelmed by the amount of chat. So the next server will be much more video based, and there will be fewer options in terms of when you come in a sense, you have to, at least I'm actually now thinking, and I haven't worked this through with Rick yet, I think actually there needs to be more successor servers. One might be Bridges of Meaning locality, where you come in and say, you know, this is the locality where I want to bring my presence and I want to have conversations. Another element that the Bridges of Meaning Discord server was helpful was actually global, in that it's really fun having conversations between Americans and Europeans, and conversations over broad spaces that people I can't meet with locally, and the internet affords that. But again, the emphasis will be on identity. You use your name, you bring your face, you bring your voice. And part of what that will also do, though, is we are going to piggyback on a lot of what we've developed in terms of Estuary, and moderation will happen via, let's say, if there's going to be a Sacramento locality conversation platform, then there are leaders, often Estuary leaders, but there are leaders in that space that are responsible for the moderation within that space. So it isn't the case that there's like one or two moderators that have to somehow oversee this massive ongoing thing, which, you know, most people, they have a day job and you just can't manage that. So we're trying to both enhance the face-to-faceness of it. It'll probably be more event-oriented rather than just dropping some links and text bombs. There'll still be text chat and things like that. But again, it will be segmented. And the goal of that will be building relationships, both local or regional relationships, where you have the hope at least of having some face-to-face. So you get a both and in terms of local meetings and online meetings. But then I think also it might be, I don't know, see, Rick has really been setting up the locality server and some of these other ideas about, where can we go to have conversations between many of the people that are around the world. And so we haven't really developed that idea about or figured out how exactly we'll do that. So those are some of the things that are coming down the line. And we hope especially the locality server is a real tool that helps local estuaries and regional groups that want to pull people together into estuaries and really get that off the ground. And also online practice some of this type of meeting together and having discussion groups together. So that's some of what we're thinking in terms of next iterations of online Estuary and Bridges of Meaning. So
yeah, it's a tricky balance. I mean, Bridges of Meaning, it's grown so much, I think. And so it's gotten to the place, I do think that like creating separation is important. And like I've always said, I think the voice channels were the best part of the best way you'd experience what Bridges of Meaning has to offer, because it was very hectic and there's a lot of chaos that goes in the channels. But there's something very humanizing about hearing someone's voice and hearing the inflection in which they say, and it creates more of this face-to-face engagement that allows more vulnerability, allows less anonymity, and like there's just, you can get so much farther through that, but it still comes sort of with its own difficulties. But it's hard. How do you find that balance of that early Bridges of Meaning essence, where it's like people from all around the world coming experience in this sort of practice of vulnerability, of sharing yourself and your story and your ideas, and allowing yourself to learn from each other and test the waters of what you believe and how it reflects other people's experiences. And so, yeah, I'm interested to see how it all comes out. Cause I mean, it, you know, I did not go on Bridge of Meaning to find a relationship, but I met a European and am marrying him. And so that's like the fact that something like that can happen. And it's not an isolated incident. There are several couples, other people who've gotten married from it. So there's something I think very special about that. You know, and so it's, yeah, I think it's just figuring out how to protect that special thing that we had as it grows. Cause the more you scale something, more something grows, the more chaos and dynamic comes in.
Yeah. And the less, no, that's right. And I think it, we, you know, we, especially the early days in the server, there was something really special about how it went and how it grew. And early days are always special, but you want to sort of give opportunity for more people to have their early days in a community too. Yeah. And again, figuring out how to do that is not easy. So,
well, that's why I love seeing like the German event, like before I was even involved with Matthias and participating in that, seeing how him taking action and getting the Germans together to speak with each other in their native language and seeing that actually start growing like within a community. It's like they took the bridge and now they're back on land building something. Yeah. Like we can't just keep building on bridges because yeah. then, you know, it's not going to support the weight. We have to go somewhere yeah. and we've got to plant and see what grows there.
Yeah. The interesting thing will also be how our event will impact the local community where we are guests, you know, like the in Landau, the Südstern Community Center, because, I mean, I was there twice and told them about the community and about the history, and I think they also saw some videos, but I mean, it's still hard to get and to really see what's behind all of this. But they are very curious, and I think that's also something that I hope to see to come out, that we can collaborate more with real-life institutions with the estuary concept.
And I think Matthias hit on something really important. It's hard to understand unless you experience it. And with the Discord and the way that it's complicated and sort of that grit you have to have to get through the chaos to find the golden nuggets of what happens there. It's like stopping people who probably would be interested in that type of group or conversation from having the chance to experience and understand it. And so having these live events and allowing that to be in person and get a taste of that, I think is super important to help it grow naturally. Yep.
Participatory knowing, right?
Yep. And that's, you know, I was thinking about that this morning, actually, how these other, what we're really trying to do in many ways is fill out these other three Vervaeke P's. The procedural, I mean, the estuary protocol is about procedure. This is how we're going to facilitate the conversation. It's participatory. And, you know, a lot of, you know, I think actually, I'm always thinking about this question of, you know, what is the gospel? What is Christianity? And so much of Christianity is perspectival, in that it's a reframing of identity in, you know, that's the agent within this arena. And so I do, even though the, you know, the explicit goal of estuary is not specifically evangelism in the sense of we're trying to make church members or grow churches, the there is, I think, an inescapable aspect, even in the broader nomenclature that we've had in this little corner of the internet in terms of transformation. The assumption, of course, is that this is transformation for the better, and that there has to be a perspectival transformation to happen for people in order to actually have the kinds of flourishing that you want in the world.
Well, I think the funniest part of like being, you know, a part of estuary, like there's two parts of where we can't keep atheists around, not because they're leaving, but because they become theist of some kind. Yeah, yeah. And a lot of Protestants becoming Orthodox. Yeah. And it's like, this is not aimed at any of those things. And like, I'm one of those, I became Orthodox. And yeah. It's like one of those things where we open the space for like honest exploration, allow people to express ideas, make mistakes, and have a, like, not a safe space really, because it's not quite safe. It's very dangerous, but that place where you can make a mistake and say the wrong thing, and it's not even debating ideas, but exchange ideas to kind of test yourselves and test other worldviews. Yeah. It opens up the door for this like natural change, which I've grew up in evangelical movements. I've been a part of them very much. Like, I haven't seen change the way I've seen it in the Bridges of Meaning. And you can argue maybe some good, some bad, but I just think the way that community has affected people and like reshaped the way they saw the world has been very interesting for me. And it's something I've never seen before in any other type of movement.
Yeah. Or for example, those people who kind of stay atheist, but become the biggest defenders of Christianity you can get, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that a funny thing?
Yeah. When it's like, it's interesting. I think we're all, you know, because me and Matthias are both Christians and we have a lot of Christians on the server, but we really want to continue to make it a safe place for atheists. When people convert or start moving, we go, oh no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a funny thing, right? I mean, the question, who is a Christian, is discussed in a different manner, you know, because you just said we are both Christians. I'm not baptized. So am I a Christian? I don't, there are different definitions, right? I mean, and that's the kind of openness we have here.
Well, and there's some people like my fiance, for instance, he came to the server as a theist, but is moving into Orthodoxy and for a while wouldn't call himself a Christian, but you had other members like, oh, he is, he just doesn't know it yet. And I'm like, okay. You know, like it's those things where those words kind of become fudgy, I guess. But you know, I don't know, there's something, I do think self-identification isn't always the most helpful, because I think it's, you know, it's hard to even see ourselves. But I do think there is a usefulness to what we self-identify as and how we operate in the world. And I do think there is a space for non-theist agnostics. I mean, really, and people from all over the space within the Bridges of Meaning, because it adds to sort of the saltiness of what's there and gives us more to think about and different perspectives to look at, because our backgrounds do matter. The culture we came from matters, and it's all part of being human.
Or like people who say like, I want to become a Christian, but I'm afraid I can't. I mean, to have the space that people can unpack those conversations is, I think, I've never seen that before as well. So,
yeah. Well, yeah, my Bill, Ginger Bill, he's been on my channel. I think he's been on yours, Paul. Like, he is so funny to me because he was an atheist and now is a theist, but not identifying with any religion. And he just doesn't want to be a Christian. He's like, I don't want to believe in God. I don't want to be a theist. But like, he's like, at a certain point, I'm stuck being a theist. And that's just such an interesting perspective, because I think a lot of what we see in the public space is people defending against known things or defending for the thing they know. And it's not quite always that simple, particularly in the Discord. There's a lot of people trying to find their space. And I think as deconstruction continues to rise within evangelical communities and other religions, probably, I think some of these spaces will be helpful for them to have more of that space to be in that middle ground where you don't know and you're really struggling with that, and there's not this force of identification of a thing.
And there are people around who hopefully you can find helpful, and you can have conversations that you find helpful. And again, figuring out well, the direction of helpfulness, well, that's often difficult, especially in a space of transformation where there's a lot of chaos and identity has sort of liquefied. And you know that you're going to have to solidify that identity at some point because you can't just have a liquid identity. Liquid identities are for transformational periods, but it has to at some point gel so that you can actually be a solid self and move forward in the world and be a participatory agent within an arena and all of this stuff. So, and that for me has always been the goal of this, because as a pastor, I see that people undergo transformation, sometimes positive, sometimes negative. And if you want people to have a positive outcome from a transformation, there's going to need to be some kind of container around that can help them, you know, move to begin to solidify their identity into a better space. And that better space is related to not just, you know, some secret sacred self that they imagine in the middle, which implicitly is very much connected to an arena. And we want that arena to be truth. And we want that arena to be the truth of the larger world and all of its complexity that there is out there. So that's for me always been what these conversations and what these groups that facilitate and have a proper culture for these conversations then can facilitate. That's for me always been the goal of this entire process. So any details now that you'd like to get out with respect to the German festival and how people can sign up for it? And, you know, you might want to, again, give dates and places and so that people can find it.
Yeah, well, I mean, today the website is launched, like the ticket sales and donation website. So people will find it in the description, I think. And as you said, Paul, we limit our first festival and we want to become this really a yearly thing. But the first festival, we will limit to 100 tickets that we don't get overwhelmed and we can practice setting up those festivals. And yeah, I mean, we really hope that community members consider donating even if they can't make it to the festival, because we also want to raise funds for your tour, Paul. I mean, you probably will also have smaller events for setting up estuaries where people won't be able to raise as much money. So if you want to support this whole tour and the setup of estuaries in Europe and the formation of small groups, please consider donating to the website. And yeah, I mean, I think it will be the festival. We are really looking forward to it. It takes shape. You will be there, Paul. Bern will be there. John Van Dunk. Cassidy will have her first live podcast. Is that right?
Yeah, with my friend Sarah, who I actually met her at church, but she knew who you were before we met. And I had actually seen her comments in the YouTube channels and had been told I should be friends with her. So she's a theologian and she's got a lot of knowledge to share. So I'm excited to kind of have that sort of estuary type conversation. And I mean, I think ultimately, we want the event to create connection and we want it to be something that helps keep this whole movement sustainable. So we want to commit to yearly things because we don't want it just be one off and then we walk away. Like, we want to keep fostering that and we want to help others. So we have this campaign going from July 1st to August 14th, and all the money raised, whether we hit our goal or go above it, all goes directly to event production. Nobody's taking a profit. Nobody's taking payment for this. We all just want to go directly to events because, you know, we want to give back and create value for the community that has been incredibly valuable for us. So yeah, we're very grateful for any generosity, the community or people who are interested in seeing the movement thrive in the real world want to, you know, provide. And we will do our best to have integrity with that and give it back to you and create events and make things as affordable as possible.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the idea of of having the goal of, let's say, having annual events. So this was the second annual event that the Chicago group had done. Their first event was a little smaller and this was a little bit bigger. But I think having the groups have sort of this goal outside of themselves is really an excellent goal, because it stretches the community and helps you all sort of say, okay, this isn't just about us satisfying our own needs, but there's a bigger mission involved here. And so I think that's absolutely terrific.
Right. And everybody, yeah,
and Cassie, right, you we will also record the speeches, and people who donate will also get access to the recordings. So yeah,
any donations of any amount, you'll get early access to all of the recordings from the event. We're not sure exactly what we're going to do with them, but we do plan to release them in some way, but we want to give early access to any donors, whether you can attend or not. And then any donations over 150 qualify you for a ticket for either this year's event or next year's. All subject to availability, first come, first serve for the first 100. But, you know, we want to help people go to the event they want to go to. So, you know, we'll ask for preferences and do that. And then anything over 225 that qualifies you to get into a raffle to win a private lunch with the speakers. So you'll get to sit with Paul and John and Bern and eat and commune and, you know, just a little extra value. And that's all covered by the festival. So, you know, free lunch of sorts. But no, I think it will be fun and something we can add. But again, this is what we can offer to give back value, to help us pay for this festival, run it, and keep it sustainable and provide it year after year. Because like you said, Paul, like, not everybody is at the same place at the same time. And this sort of movement, will it always be the thing that people need? I don't know. But it seems like it's something needed in our culture now and in the near future. And so we want to be available. We don't want it to burn hot and then die. We want it to be sustainable and have roots and grow slow enough to hold on to that ethos of what it is, but still create more opportunity for people to have the value that we've had the chance to experience.
Very good. So before I publish this, you guys will furnish me with links. And so they'll be down in the show notes and people can find those links there. And really looking forward to this. Really, I've never been to Europe. So this European trip will be I'm excited about it. I love to travel. And so really looking forward to meeting all of you face to face and really looking forward to this event. So,
oh yes. Looking forward to meeting you in person. Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, if anybody has questions, feel free to message us through the festival page. And then you can also link to our subscription. What is it? The email list. Because we'll send out
a newsletter. Yeah.
Newsletter. That's the word.
Okay. Very good. So thanks for watching and check out the links below. And at least for some of you, hope to see you at the festival.